Okay, now we move on to our final chart, which is the says the long-range advanced decline tees. And as it noted, this chart illustrates how the New York Index, which is the top green plot, rises within the right side of tees and matches the duration of the prior declining tops in the advanced decline line. The cash buildup phases are shown as the roughly speaking by the green lines showing the descending tops in the advanced decline line. And that defines the left side of the T. You have to find the center post of the T by a set of rules, which I'll discuss later on. And then you just project that the top will appear at the right side when you extend it out an equal amount of time. And as we've discussed before, like for example, T number 12, you tend to have this phenomenon if you make a multiple bottom at the center post of T number 12, you tend to get a reproduction above it. It's very much like in the peak in 98 for the advanced decline line. You think it radiates a disturbance very much like radar, which was my old field that I was in. And what it does is it's a disturbance that heads down and it is deflected off the multiple bottom in the late 02, 03 period. And when it comes back up, it reverts over and causes that image to be inverted. So instead of making twin bottoms, you make twin tops. And because it's a time symmetrical case, and the T's all pretty much come out correctly for this period from which is 66 to the present, is, you know, which is basically 40 years, we have a, you know, real good way to check out all kinds of time symmetries and so forth. Now, this chart doesn't look much different than the one that I had presented in the past, but what happened is that the old chart was done in a computer program which is basically obsolete, couldn't run on modern computers. And so I have spent the last 6 months engaging a professional programmer to get it over into the modern world, will run on modern computers. And we just finished this project on Saturday morning before I started to make up my charts and so forth. So things are a little bit incomplete here, but I will tell you a couple of plans that we're going into, and then I will go give you an argument after I talk about that preliminary stuff, why T number 13, which technically has an August 26th top date and has been verified by spreadsheets and everything in the pack zones, is in all probability the beginning of a new bear market, and there isn't any ability to fudge that. You might remember that the Fed chairman went before Congress and let them have the bad news that we're likely to be entering an environment which is more frequent recessions, you know, just kind of a mess. What's happened is the Federal Reserve has discovered the 40-year cycle. That's another topic. That's another program which is being brought over to the new modern computers as well. It's a simpler program, so but we'll get into that. But this argument is that basically that you've got yourself caught in a way where you can't make a new T, and I'll discuss that later on. Now the first thing that I want to do is, since I don't want to get a lot of stupid questions in the mail, I have to dispense with the one that I always get, and which says that the advanced decline line down on the bottom of the chart, which is, see, it changes colors. This program, I spent a lot of time back in the 90s doing it. You'll notice that the red is the decline. I should actually change that over to be green, because that's the cash buildup phase, but I didn't put the green lines in. In time, I'll get these lines drawn in by the program. These are done manually. And so we'll get all that stuff, and we'll work out what the time symmetries are, what the errors are, and so forth. Because the program is now available, and it's worthwhile to get all of these things taken care of. People will say, well, the advanced decline line is wrong now because it includes income stocks. And it turns out that the world of investors is dominated by people who have 401ks, pension funds, and they're all dealt with on a fundamental basis, and their holy grail is that the long-term rate of return for stocks going from like 26 to recent times is 10% per annum, And it turns out that the price appreciation, which is just the price of the New York Composite Index or the Dow Jones Industrial Average, is 5% per annum, and it's the dividend income that is the other 5%. So the 10% total return is roughly half price appreciation and half of the in the income distribution. So when somebody says that you shouldn't look at the advanced decline line because it's got income in it, well, nobody would be in the stock market if they weren't getting the income. It wouldn't be a famous place to put your money. It has a problem with the 40-year cycle, but if you look beyond the 40-year cycle and you know that's equities do have a long term. If you get long enough, they're fine. And only because there's income which kind of covers up your weakness. The present problem with the stock market is that there isn't any income return on the S&P 500 because the dividend income is too low. When I started my company in 74, and we were waiting for the 82 bottom to come up, the dividend yield on common stocks was quite good. It was in the 5, 6, 7% category. The market was held back because long-term treasury bonds yielded up to 13% as you went into 82 because of the inflation business. But when that released, it was an enormous tendency because the PE ratio was about half what it is today, and the dividend yield was like almost three times greater than what it is today. And you had this enormous bull market, which was from 82 to 98, and then dribbled off into 99 and 2000. So you don't ask the question about that. This is a whole clique of people who are always trying to say that it doesn't matter. But they combine, all they are is people that are watching the charts go up and down where there is no income component. And I think that most of those people do that just for entertainment purposes, and they're not serious. You get up to Marty Schwartz's curious case where you're dealing with futures on the S&P 500. He knows there's no dividend, dividend component because the futures are just price changes basically, but he knows that the market is influenced by the so they tend to watch what the Federal Reserve is doing and take into account what the dividend rate is and kind of factor that into their bullish or bearish forecast. The market's big problem now is that people always point out, well, these corporations have a great amount of cash available, and that's bullish, but they're not producing it as a long-term income. If you could get them to produce a 4 or 5% dividend yield instead of like a little over 2% now, take some of that money and put it in, then people would go there because they can't get any yield on the money market funds or short-term instruments. And that's probably going to take 10 years for them to wise up to that factor at all. So first of all, we don't want to get any questions about why we're using this advanced decline line, which is distorted by the inability to, but because it contains this horrible income component. You're going to enter an income, you're going to enter a depression period where the only thing you're ever going to want is income because it's the only thing you can't get when you're in a deep depression period. So don't really have to answer any questions on that one. The rules for the placement of the T is that are complicated, but you can't make a new T until you end the old T. You can have these descending top patterns can overlap. If you look at T1, you see you have they have this period of 68 to 70 type decline down. If you look down in the lower plot there. And then you get this T1, and you go up time symmetrical, and it comes into the end of it, and then it kind of stays up high for a while, then it pops up in this blow off in January of 73, and then it goes down. Well, when you make the next T, you could draw a small T and small T21, but actually what you do is you always go back and pick up the top, the long top, and the T overlaps, and this gives you this tremendous ability to make T's expand. And all you have to do is see T2 is overlapping T1, but it's really a great T. And then you pull back into 82, and you get this, and you have this other sort of rolling over top pattern, the advanced decline, and you get T3, the greatest, biggest rally you ever have. And then, because the advanced decline line gets up high now, you can't find a descending tops pattern anymore because you can't overlap any more T's. And so you get this T4 that carries you up. And that's how you tell that the market's going to crash, is when you box yourself in where the advanced decline line can't find any more advanced decline T's. It's the equivalent to saying that either you're so speculative because they've been pushing the advanced decline up, you're going to have a crash on a basis or a selling panic on a basis of you got boxed in on too many people own stocks, basically. Okay. I just point out that the whole business of the rise into the 90s, which was a great period of history, was the ability to produce overlapping T's. And some of them, like the way T9 overlaps at T8, that's the epitome of the rules. And that's where you get really clever. T10, you can't quite see in this chart. I have to shift it over, or shift it so it can be seen. In T11, the mega T says that the top from the 82 bottom is in 98, and you see the advanced decline line top there. But then they went into this funny stuff that gave you a run up in small T's. But that was another case where you were boxed in, and you eventually had to go into a bear market. After the bear market, you came out in T12, and the reason that you got canned in 08 is that the advanced decline line took this enormous rally. And so there was no way to draw overlapping T's anymore. And then when we went down to the recent lows, double bottom lows, you see the advanced decline line raced itself up. Well, you'd say, is that positive? No, it's because it's going to kill off the formation of a T. There's no way you can make a new T anymore. See, so T13 is the end of the road. And it is the official date is August 26th. It's not the short range T, because the short range T might be useful for catching, if there's a big push on there, what'll happen is it'll run all over August 26, but it'll only be like 1% higher, so it's kind of a multiple top pattern, and you go slightly higher, people will be holding the breath, but we cut it off, and, you know, 5 years from now, I'll say that T was August 26. The other thing that can happen is that you can't quite make it. It's still August, official August 26th. But hopefully you'll be able to see the difference between the two of those. The big factor here now is that the rise in the advanced decline line is negative because it is cutting you off from the development of new T's the same way that T number 4 caused the 87 peak, and T number 2, which was in 1980. Things were going great going up to the right end of T number 2. Okay, you couldn't, you know, they elected Ronald Reagan, and the Republicans were so cheery, they finally got a Republican in, and they were going to get rid of this Jimmy Carter guy. And with Ronald Reagan, they couldn't lose. The whole thing went down into 82. Okay, what's the problem? You can't draw another T. The advanced decline line, I mean, you can drag it out, but the rule requires you to go to the end of T number 2 and then find it at the end of the what was the declining tops pattern. So just knowing that what the rules are, you can very often just tell that you have to have a top here, and August 26th has to be a top. The T10 and T11 is the odd case where you had so much momentum on the upside, but there's another T that's discussed at the archives that says that there was another top in 2000. Relative to the mega T said there was a top in 98, but there was a way you could put a center post of a T in the 87 low, which was quite an oversold condition, and you could get an extension to 2000. There isn't any way to do that in here. So August 26th is the official top date, and it's negative because the advanced decline line is too strong, and you can't get a declining tops pattern for the new T. The difference between the way T's work and the way the government works now is, in order to get the rally, you have to get the money, the cash buildup phase, now in hand before you start the rally. Okay, so you can't go up until you make the cash buildup, because there's no financing allowed in this one. You have to have the cash buildup, cash in hand, to fuel the rally. In the government, the way they are operating now, is they are on a credit basis. So what they do is they say, we will extend the credit to you by printing money, and that will cause the recovery to develop. And then during the recovery, through the taxation and the growth of the economy, we'll get the money back. Okay, The T's don't work that way. You got to have the money in hand. Okay? And what we're saying here is you can't get the money in hand until you get the advanced decline line T's. And I incidentally have tracked that back to 29, but I don't have a chart on it, but because I think it's not particularly relevant. We cover that in the 40-year cycle case. So it's an ironclad case, as far as I can see, that going back from 1929, that this is a dead-end road. It is a bear market rally when you look at the any of the equity marketing averages, and the fact that the advanced decline line has made a new high is a new recovery high. This is the same argument right into T number two or T4. Time has run out, and there isn't any convenient way to do it, because if the advanced decline line T makes a new high here, but maybe the S&P is not going to make a new high here, when you start the next T, you have to draw a new cash buildup line. You're going to go back to the advanced decline peak. You can't start it back from the April peak if the New York Composite Index is the lower top. They're just spending all their money right now in some sort of a frantic. So there's a speculation going on in the stock market, and the source of the speculation is that the public has abandoned the stock market, and all of the big brokerage houses like Goldman, the big institutionals like Goldman Sachs or any of the other people that are they're supposed to be serving the public, all they're doing is they're doing program trading or high frequency trading or some other aspect of a trading mechanism, and they're all using derivatives, and they're, what they're doing is running the gun to try and make money out of the bull market at the and push the advanced decline line up. And but there really aren't any investors, because there's no rate of return in the past, and there's no indicated rate of return from a dividend standpoint to support the market. And so what you've got is one trading house using very high leverage to just try and gun the market up, and they're not doing a very good job of it. Okay, so they're going to left holding the bag, and the prospects for the next, when I draw the next decline T in, we'll probably do that in September, and then just start looking at, you're going to see how bad it is. You're going to have to wait for at least a year and a half, and that lets things run amok, and the interpretation that you have from this development here on the advanced decline T is that the public is not going to support the economy. That they gave all the money to the big financial institutions, and they left all the people behind. The people aren't going to buy goods, and they're 2/3 of the economy, and so you're going to find out the whole economic recovery has been stalled, and you've become under the influence of the 40-year cycle. And we get that program taken up. We'll get into more details on that. Okay, so that's the program that we have for this Sunday. I would just summarize by saying that the advantage of having this program is that, okay, so we see that we're coming from 66 to 2010, and we have a 44-year history. What's interesting about that is that this database here contains all the interesting daily data, which is required to do the short-range T's and the accumulation patterns, which come in the first two charts. Generally speaking, in 1 year, you'll get three short-range T's. So in this period, I can expand this chart and expect to find about 120 short-range T's from 66 to the present. And I can catalog all of those short-range T's to show you, what bearish T's look like versus bullish T's. I can also build all the envelopes in it, so we can verify what the swings are taking place in the envelopes and see if there's any unusual things. In the accumulation pattern, which you look at the S&P 500 versus the 18-day advanced decline oscillator, which is actually a 19-day advanced decline oscillator. That chart here can also be reproduced, and that advanced accumulation lows tend to show up in about twice a year. So in a 44-year segment, there should be 88 of these, and they can all be cataloged, and all of their historical tendencies, which ones are reliable and which ones are not reliable, will become apparent. They're generally reliable if you're in the right side of an advanced decline T. Accumulation patterns usually always show up at the center post of a T, which is the only way you got to find a center post of a T anyway. They're not so reliable in the what we call these red sections when you're in a declining mode. But in any case, we'll be able to put all this all together. And then when you do the tutorials, what you do is you can overlap a lot of these. You can plot all bearish T's on one grid, and you can see what their characteristics and how they vary and so forth. So that's how you get the next stage of T theory, to look at vast numbers of T's in the aggregate and find out what their common characteristics are. So so that's what we're doing in between episodes here. And next week when we come back, we're going to go back into the bonds, bonds, gold, and incidentally, the gold data has not been put into this program, but it will get into it, and then I can build a gold oscillator and a gold against GLD and do all the gold analysis on it. So we'll be able to cover all of those things, as well as with the bonds and other things that data is gets put into the database. So so we do have about a month to go up, but I didn't mention that if you go back and look at the volume oscillator chart, you see I drew a cash buildup line. There's overhead resistance coming. That should be the cash buildup line for the new what's going to be the new cash buildup line for the T that's going to fall like in September or October. And you're not quite up there, but you are getting to an overbought level. And unless something is, you know, everybody is really hot for stocks, that is going to become overhead resistance. So you're going to get into a situation where you think you say it sounds great if you're going up to August 26th, but you may not be going up right away, and you may have to go back one of these corrections to get the arms ratio back up again, then take another shot and go a little bit higher. And you go through this sort of stuff, and then everybody's going to start worrying about, well, you know, maybe it looks toppy in here. And the answer is that it's either going to August 26th or it's going to the top of the red upper envelope of the channel around the 1160 level. Okay, that's it. Be back next Sunday. Bye-bye.